So, if you have any questions about this much of the speech, I will take some questions now. Of course, we are going to talk about the next thing, which is the different rulings of Sharia. We start the discussion of rulings at 10:30, inshallah. But before we start the rulings at 10:30, if you have any questions related to what I said by now, yes, please, go ahead.
One of the hadith that you quoted from the Prophet was that if you are praying and still committing sins, then your prayer is not, you're moving away from Iman, or you're moving away, your sin is increasing more and more. So the question comes in that if somebody is praying, then should he think that, okay, since he's praying, so he should leave the sins? Or should it be that his prayer should be so consuming, it should consume him so much that it should automatically force him to leave the sin?
That's the second thing that you mentioned is actually the solution. See, everything of the religion, everything that we do in the religion depends on the salah. Everything depends on the prayers. Now, a person, let's suppose, performs some harams in his life, doesn't give hooks, for example. A sister doesn't wear hijab. A person shaves his beard. A person, lies, deceives the fellow mu'min, has hasad and envy towards his fellow mu'min brothers. The deadline for him to leave the sin is the time of his prayers. As soon as the time of the prayer arrives, he has to do the tawbah if he's sincere about his prayers. And he has to be sincere because everything is resting on the prayers. If he mess up with his prayers, and the prayers will be messed up if we don't do the tawbah and still pray, and don't quit the sins and still keep on praying with the same sins, and do the same business as usual after the prayers, of course we are messing up with the prayers. So what we end up with, that this is the final end result, is that the deadline for him to do what he is doing is the time of his prayers. As soon as the time of prayers arrive, he has to do the tawbah before entering into his prayers, and that is exactly how the prayers cleanses a person. Remember, in other hadiths, of course there are thousands and thousands of hadiths, which we cannot mention all of them in this short presentation. In another hadith of the Holy Prophet, he has said, لَوْ كَانَ عَلَىٰ بَابِ أَحَدِكُمْ نَهْرًا. If there was a fountain, if there was a spring, if there was a creek next to the doorstep, next to the door of your house, and a person takes a bath 5 times a day in the creek which is running next to his door, would you imagine a person taking a shower in a running creek 5 times a day? Can you imagine there may be any dirt remaining on his body? Look at the beautiful example Prophet has given. Similarly, the prayers, when you pray 5 times a day, it cleans you from every dirt and unclean thing of your soul. It cleanses you from all the sins. So basically, the answer to your question is that, if we do a harams in our life, the time of prayers is the deadline. If we are serious about our spirituality, before we start our prayers, next prayers, we need to do tawbah first, and then start our prayers. Yes, please.
You mentioned one of the hadiths where we saw that in Qubilat Masivaha, or in Qubilat Masivaha, and before that, inshallah, we are going to talk about, you mentioned that we are going to talk about the conditions for the qubuliyat of the namaz. Can we say that there are, even for qubuliyat, there are different darajat, or there are different stages? Because it seems like, qubuliyat or the acceptance is kind of hard, or to reach that stage is a bit hard.
for communion, they are not stages, but for the prayers, there are stages. But the minimum level of taharat of the qalb, the minimum level of cleanliness of the soul is the bottom line. That's required for every mu'min to get his prayers accepted. That much minimum has to be met by everybody in order for him, in order for his prayers to be accepted. Now if your prayers get accepted, what is the level of your prayers? This depends that after meeting the minimum, how much more did you gain in your spirituality? More than the minimum. So if you have more levels of cleanliness of the soul, because cleanliness and taharat and tazkiyah of the soul has several levels, elaborately discussed. Some of the subjects in Islam are elaborately discussed, whereas some of the subjects are less elaborately discussed, like politics, less elaborately discussed, you know, unfortunately. And what are the Islamic rulings and Islamic economics? Very less discussed. Imam Baqir Sadr wrote the first book, and then there are several other books written right now. So if you talk about Islamic economical system, very less discussed. So, but some of the subjects are very elaborately discussed, and we have treasures and abundant books. Almost every arif mujtahid has written a book on tazkiyatun nafs. Almost everybody. So, and we have, mashallah, a huge list of urafa. So you turn to every arif, and so many of them have written books on asrar al-salat, the secrets of the prayer. So this is a subject which is elaborately discussed, and we have abundant treasure available. And the beauty of talking about the urafa is that they have already reached the destination. So if you want to, let's suppose, because if you want to go somewhere, you know, like if I want to go from Seattle to New York, I would like to take I-90 East, okay? So that's the longest freeway in North America. So if I, in the United States, so if I want to learn about the directions, Isn't it better for me to learn the directions from someone who has already, who drove all the way from Seattle to New York on I-90 East, and now he's already reached New York, and then he tells me that do this and don't do that, and beware of this kind of thing, those curves are like confusing and this and that. He has already gone through the whole process, and now he has reached the destination. So the way he's going to guide me will be certainly better than any travel guide or any travel book that I can carry as a companion. So this is the beauty of turning to the Urafa, because they have already reached the destination. So the levels of your prayers depends on the level of your taharat and cleanliness of the soul, which has several levels elaborately discussed by the Urafa, the levels of the soul, but the bare minimum for the acceptability of the prayers has to be met by every mu'min, and that much is necessary. Yes?
I guess the question I had was back to what she was alluding to. If you were to go through just the prescription that you have for salat acceptance and practice, and then maybe you're not doing it spiritually, you're doing all that's practiced or all that's prescribed, and you go through the motions, would that automatically cause you to become more pious? I mean, just the act of performing prayers with its correctness and with its acceptance right here, would that just automatically cause you to stop committing sins? Or the what you said there, which was that before you perform the prayers, you actually are now performing tawbah and saying, no, I will not commit any sins. So let's say you're just saying that. Would that actively, because that's an act that you're doing by saying that I'm doing tawbah and I won't commit it anymore. Is that coming because it's incumbent upon you to say that, or is it because the effect of the prayers that you were performing is now causing your heart to say, or your mind or your soul to say that?
It is true both ways. Prayers also affect us in doing that. But since the prayers is not accepted without the Tawbah...
Could you repeat that question for everybody so understand what?
Yeah, he was saying that whether we need to, when we do the Tawbah and repentance, that we, is the prayers causing us to do the repentance, or we are doing it, you know, before entering into the prayers. Well, prayers is also very much helpful in making us realize, if we look at all those ahadiths and teachings from the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam, it will certainly help us to do the Tawbah. But we need to do the Tawbah before we start the prayers as a matter of the principle. So, because the prayers will not be accepted if you didn't do the Tawbah before it. We are supposed to do the Tawbah as soon as we do a sin, God forbid. We need to do the Tawbah immediately, because Tawbah is an immediate wajib of Islam, wajib al-fawri. So, but let's suppose a person didn't do Tawbah soon after he sinned. The deadline, like I mentioned here, the deadline is the time of his salah. That's the farthest he could delay. You know, if he's serious, that's the farthest he could delay. In the real sense, that is not the farthest, because basically, like I said earlier, Islam says as soon as a person commits a sin, he should do the tawbah immediately, because we don't know when we are going to die. We may die the next moment. We may not be even alive till the time of prayers arrive. So the actual concept is still the same. We have to do it immediately. But if a person stays alive and didn't avail the tawfiq and opportunity from Allah to do the tawbah soon after his sin, then the deadline in his prayers, that's the farthest he could wait. He should not enter into his prayers. If he's serious about his soul, he should not enter into his prayers without doing tawbah. Because this kind of prayers with all the haram that we do is making me farther away from Allah. Why do I pray? Why do I bother to pray? Qurbatan ilallah. Isn't that right? To seek the qurbat and closeness and nearness towards Allah. Imam Ali has said very clearly, it is going to make you farther away from Allah. You want to get farther away from Allah, you want to get close to Him. But the kind of prayers, if we pray with the saints, is going to make us farther away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why I said the deadline is the prayers.
Yeah, if you allow me, shall I take one question from the sisters and then I'll come to you?
Assalamu alaikum salam. What is our responsibility if a majlis is going on the time of prayers, for example, Zohar time? Should we go to the prayers for later time or avoid the majlis?
Yeah, the majlis is one of the greatest worships in Islam, and you know, the majlis of Imam Hussain in Islam is one of the greatest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But our mu'mins should be very clear that the same Ahlul Bayt alayhimussalam themselves used to pray in the Fadilat time. So when we are doing a majlis, we are talking about those great personalities, which is very, very great worship of ours holding a majlis. But we are holding a majlis about those personalities who always pray on the beginning Fadilat time. So let's not, first of all, let's not put our majlis at a time when it clashes with the time of the prayers. And if the time of the prayers arrive, we should, of course, the Fadilat time. My question to you, if Imam Sajjad al-Islam was here, what would he do? If Imam Hussain himself was here, what would he do? Will he sit and listen and do any other thing other than the prayers? I just told you the hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam. The Prophet didn't used to recognize no relative, no family member. As if he doesn't recognize anybody. Now that the time of prayers arrived, he doesn't recognize nobody. He goes for prayers. So it is very likely to be like this, inshallah. It's very likely to be like this, but it doesn't mean, because we share the sawab with the imam, so it's very likely that we share the reward also, and he's going to get the reward because of the acceptability, not just because of the correctness. So we share the reward with the imam, so it is likely, but not guaranteed. It is very likely, but it's not guaranteed. It can only be guaranteed if the person himself also fulfills the shara'atul qabool.
What if you reverse it?
If you allow it, yes.
What if you reverse it? The imam, we don't know what is the condition of the imam. He is reading the prayer, imamun are following it, and for some reason if his prayer is not accepted, would the imamun's prayer be accepted?
Oh yeah, why not? Yes. It all depends on those shara'atul qabool. If you are fulfilling the shara'atul qabool conditions of acceptability of the prayers, then your prayers is certainly accepted. Yeah, I'll take this last question. Okay. It's almost 10:30, so from the lady's side, the question is that if we supposed to rely completely on ulama, some people say that it reduces our responsibility or of regard reading and thinking. I just want to know what is our responsibility as a Muslim in this respect, with no doubts about the knowledge and spirituality of the ulama. Relying completely on ulama. As long as an alim is alim, he has the knowledge, and he has taqwa, and he is pious, he will always guide you towards something which is correct and right. If an alim doesn't have the ilm, or he doesn't have the taqwa, then he is not qualified for the job. As simple as that. But as long as an alim is an alim, and he is muttaqi, he will tell you what is correct and right for your spirituality, for your success in both the worlds. If he would know something, he would tell you. If he doesn't know, he would say, I don't know. I will just check from the references and then let you know. But he will always guide you towards the right path. So as long, the answer to your question, as long as a scholar, an alim, is muttaqi and pious, yes, you can rely in the real sense of the word taqwa. And if the alim is not muttaqi and pious, you should not rely. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.